On the Fringe with Gemma Delaney on WLR.
Welcome back to On the Fringe with me, Gemma Delaney. First up tonight, we'll be chatting with Dungarvan singer and saxophonist Maria Hymas. She's back for another year with her 12 Dresses of Christmas promoting sustainable fashion, with one lucky charity winning a fundraising performance by Maria herself.
I'm a saxophone player and jazz musician. I do a bit of singing as well. So I do this full time. And a couple of years ago, I started wearing a few dresses that I've had for a number of years, you know, sort of, oh, here I am, you know, hotel in Dublin and wearing this dress I've had since, like, you know, 1992 or something like that. And it kind of started like that. And everyone sort of started commenting, and it grew from there. So the following year, I made a concerted effort and I went out and I bought some secondhand dresses from charity shops. And I just sort of started. I play in different venues, and people will be commenting on the dresses. So what I actually did was, people commented, and I did a competition at the end of the year of the 12 dresses, and people voted for their favourite. We put the names in the hat, and somebody won it for charity, and we raised some money for the Simon community that year. So we did the same again last year, and it's just grown from there. People literally stop me in the street and the supermarket, when you're doing your 12 dresses again. So the caveat really of the 12 dresses, it's not me going out and overspending or over consuming here. All of the dresses that I am wearing are sustainable fashion. So the sustainable fashion approach last year was charity shops, or it could be a friend might lend me a dress. So it's looking at our over consumerism, especially at this time of year, and the environmental impact of buying so many clothes off of these online places and things like that. So it's kind of an interesting thing as well. It will be me appearing in a certain place, so you get to see, like, the hotel. Like, I'm doing a lovely gig in Cashel Palace, for example, this year on Stephen's Day, so everyone will get to be able to see the back end of Cashel Palace, and I'll be wearing, you know, different dresses and things. So everyone's going to vote on their favourites and get to see where I'm playing as well, which is really interesting.
It's a great idea, because I remember reading there that we have enough for, like, the next six generations where clothing is concerned, just because of fast fashion. Yeah. And I've seen the documentaries of, you know, yes, where your donated clothes end up on these beaches in second and third world countries who, you know, yeah, neither have the capacity or the manpower really to sort through these landfills of clothes.
I often quote you, actually, because you done your homework when we did the interview last year, and you were telling me things that I didn't realise, and I'd done quite a lot of research about it. And it was the fact that, you know, it's so many generations, people just overconsume. And a lot of the time, people, like I was saying last year, if you buy an item, if you buy a dress, and even if you buy it from a local shop, that goes back into the economy. Mm-hmm. If you wear that dress several times and you keep wearing, so every time you buy an item, look at it and say, how many wears am I going to actually get out of this? How many times am I going to wear it? Because that's the thing, the amount that's going into landfill and the amount of litres of water it takes to produce a pair of jeans or cotton or anything, it's just absolutely crazy.
Do you think it's getting better, Maria? Because, like, obviously this year in particular, we've seen this, you know, surge in vintage. Vintage is very popular now, and it's nearly kind of becoming trendy to be a bit more frugal and maybe a bit more environmentally conscious.
I think there's a market for it. I think definitely, like, you know, you think about it, last a few years ago, like, the vintage thing came out, tea rooms, and I used to do my vintage tea rooms in Dungarvan and stuff, and we had all the vintage china, and there is definitely, like, a trend for reusing and repurposes. There's a certain woman out there that appeals to, that really loves the fact that, oh yeah, this is my grandmother's coat, and you see a lot of celebrities now on the red carpets now wearing vintage Chanel, and Kim Kardashian was wearing Marilyn Monroe's old dress.
That's right.
But unfortunately, and I see it all the time, there is still a large portion of the population that will just go onto Shein or onto these sites and just, you know, oh, it was only a fiver, oh, it was only £3, God, I couldn't leave it there for that. Unfortunately, that mentality still exists. I think it's coming to the fore. You mentioned vintage. Well, yeah, that was my best friend this year.
Oh,
you
really
want to see some of the frocks? Oh my God, Gemma. I suddenly went, what's this? Because I don't think when we did our interview last year that Vinted was around. But Vinted is in Ireland now, lads. I swear to God, it's addictive. That's the only thing. I had to delete the app because I got my 12. Because I tell you, I start looking in charity shops from January, you know, right the way through. And obviously, I'm playing all over the country, literally all over the place. And I will look in every charity shop. I'm always like nosing around to see what I can get. And this year, there wasn't as many things that I. And then I discovered Vinted. Oh my goodness me. That was just a revelation. And I swear to God, you could just skint yourself. But I made myself promise not to spend more than €15 per dress. That was my thing.
That, if I mean, it was any more 15 than 15 euro is a bargain in anyone's eyes.
No,
I don't care what your budget is.
I swear to God, you want to see some of the gooners that I've picked up this year. They are stunning. They are absolutely. No, you take a risk. You take a risk because obviously, size wise as well, sometimes, you know, it might say size 12 or something and you get it and there's it, you know, it's not a size 12, it's definitely, you know, that can happen. That's the only thing about buying. But you're then buying. Now, there was one lady that said, look, I only wore my dress, this dress, a few Christmas parties. I can't keep wearing the same one again. So I know there's a few that pre-loved, pre-worn. And I love that. The fact that somebody's gone out with a nice gold fancy dress and worn it a few times and then washed it. And some people even put little notes in. I thought it was so sweet this year. You know, hope you enjoy the dress as much as I did and things. Aww. Like, you know, really sweet. So it depends on the seller. So some of them were brand new. There was one lady that bought a couple of bridesmaid dresses. They weren't what they were, she was looking for, and they weren't even worn, and they're absolutely stunning. So I got those, and they were £10 each. So I mean, and they're brand new, and it's one of my favourites. It's a stunning dress.
And I was going to say, if it's a bridesmaid's dress, you're looking at 150 upwards easily.
Oh, and the rest.
Wow.
I mean, this is sequins and it's just stunning, like, you know. So some of the gooners that I've got this year are just amazing. So I'm really, really excited because, as I say, Vinted this year was just brilliant. Some of them still with the labels on, some of them pre-worn. Let's get that message out there about sustainability. Look, this dress cost me £15. It's secondhand. You know, and at the end of it, obviously, everyone's voting for the dresses. And then we're going to have another competition. So last year, a lady called Maria Moore won the competition and she chose Breakthrough Cancer Research. So we had a really lovely night and I did a free gig for them. And it was just amazing. We had a lovely, lovely night and good few bob for the charity as well, which was great. So it's all good. It's a feel good Christmas thing. So. But
it's following the same format then as last year, Maria, in that you have the various gigs. You're going to be putting the pictures of yourself in the pre-loved Goonas up on your Instagram.
My Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's
and people
Maria's
just
Music Mind, just in case you want to pop on over
that's
to her Instagram.
Maria's Music Mind is the Instagram. And my Facebook is Maria Hymas, which is HYMAS Hymas. So either one is fine. And my Instagram is usually black and white. So it's the one kind of time of year that I'll actually put colour photos on my Instagram. But both of those. So just, you know, if you want to just follow me on Insta or Facebook and just make some comments, and then I'll be collecting those comments at the end. And I'm very excited about it this year, definitely. You can see all my collection.
And the dresses last year were stunning. And like you said, to the winning vote, as it were, you perform for a charity gig, which is just divine.
Yes.
Such lovely,
so
lovely
if
sentiment.
Anybody has a charity, now you don't have to do anything. All you need to do is say, look, nominate this charity. Now, I've been very lucky the last two winners that I've had have helped organise the event and we've had very great successful nights, but at the end of the day I could find a venue and you could just nominate a charity. That's okay if you are a charity, jump on in. And that's the other thing I'll be doing. Some of the dresses that I've got from charity shops around the different parts of the country, there's some smaller charities, and I'll be also plugging the charities themselves and saying, look, this is where the shop is, this is where they're selling, go along, and this is what the charities do. So hopefully a little bit of mention of that as well. You'll have a clear conscience going into Christmas that you've contributed to the circular economy then, I think, as well.
I love it. I love the whole concept behind it, Maria. So like I said, Maria's Music Mind there on Instagram, as she said, black and white at the moment, but it'll be full colour now shortly when she starts posting this year's dresses.
Definitely.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see them. It's such fun. Even, you know,
sure
picking my own favourite last year. So really looking forward to it. Maria Hymas, such a lovely idea for Christmas and any time of the year. Thank you so much for joining me.
On the Fringe with Gemma Delaney on WLR.
Director, actor and drama teacher Luke Corcoran is back in to tell us what he has in store for audiences over the festive period. He joined me in studio with actors Denise, Salome and Dan, telling us what we can expect from Christmas Pub Theatre at Downs's Pub.
Pub Theatre is back again, and this time it's a Christmas
personal.
Special. And also personal.
So back in Downs again?
Back in Downs again, yeah. The 9th, 10th, 11th of December. It's next Tuesday. It's this day week.
Wow.
Yeah, December's flying in.
It's actually kind of frightening when people say like 9th, 10th. I'm like, ah, that's weeks away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's crazy. It snuck up on us this year.
Oh, it definitely snuck up on us, all right.
Can we expect an little Christmas theme then with the Christmas?
Absolutely. There are three Christmas-themed plays and lots of Christmas delight. I think it's just a nice buzz like around Christmas time to go in and watch three plays. Like, you'll start at 7:30, finish at 9.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I just think it's nice. There's a nice Christmassy atmosphere to it.
And I said it to you, you know, after the last interview, I wasn't lying, I'm being genuine. Like, after our last chat, the volume of text messages I had, people going, Jesus, because I'm always like, particularly, and I know I'm sounding like a broken record, particularly if you're not raised in a family maybe that's into the arts and acting, I think you can just assume it's something, no, that wouldn't be my cup of tea. And like the amount of friends I've dragged to pub theatre or something I've been in or whatever, and they're only coming because I'm there. And they're like, that was bloody, I really enjoy that. And you get them into it that way. And even though they might never thread the boards themselves, you might get them into the script writing, or you might get them into the set design, or you might get them into the lighting, or whatever the case may be. It's a great creative outlet, isn't it?
Definitely is. And it's a great night for the audience. Like we had, for the Halloween special, we had 180 people over the 3 days in Downs's. So on the Thursday, there was like 80 people in the room there. It was jam packed, but that's like where the atmosphere just gets electric then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just brilliant. It's a brilliant night, and it's three plays for €15. Where would you get it? That is less than the price of a box of smokes and probably one pint in Temple Bar in Dublin. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And Denise, you've joined. He's brought you into the fold.
Yes.
Are you regretting that decision now?
Not yet. Ask me on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night next week. But so far, no. I met Luke. I would be a long-time member of WDS.
Of course.
And I met Luke, who auditioned, I remember, in Frieda Ryan's kitchen for the part of Teddy Heelan in Big Maggie. And that was the first time we'd met him. I was amazed to discover that I was in school with his mother.
Oh, that's watered for you,
lads. Who was also in English, but it made me feel ancient.
Yeah.
lads, I could be his mother. And given then that I played Big Maggie and he played the commercial traveller, given that we had we call it the seduction scene.
Let's call it a spoiler.
It was very old lads. Yeah.
Baptism of fire.
Yeah. Oh, well, it was, yeah. It was.
That was, and I had heard, you know the way you hear, but it's back there. I'd heard Luke mentioned, and I'd heard he was teaching, acting using the Meisner method. And I'd heard about the pub theatre, but never quite got there.
Yeah.
And then he told me about the Halloween one, and I actually was only back that morning from a week in Malaga, and I was wrecked. But I had said, oh, I'd go.
Go down.
I was a woman of my word. I went, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
I really was. It was such a fantastic night's theatre. And like all my experience would be in the classic mm-hmm. theatre, you know, in the theatre that, you know, it is a completely different experience. They're yeah. different, both very, very good and enjoyable. But I was absolutely blown away. And I suppose there was something immediate about it. It's mm-hmm. the immediacy of it. And then
it's a completely different beast.
Totally.
Totally.
And then
a different
it's
beast.
So intimate. Mm-hmm. It is such yeah. an intimate space. Like, for an actor, there's no mm-hmm. hiding place.
Yeah.
You know, there's nowhere to hide here, folks. But for the audience, you really feel you're in it. And then, like, the quality of the acting was amazing. I was like, wow, wow, wow. And it was great fun. You came out with a smile on your face, yeah. you know. So, yeah, so when he said he had a very hard part with an awful lot of dialogue, it would take me an awful long time to learn the lines, but would I be in it? I said, yes. So I am. I'm in one of the three. It's the last one on the night. It's a play called Michelle Pfeiffer, and I'm playing a mother. And Kanisha, I forget Kanisha's...
Duvall
is playing my daughter, and I have several lines, but I just keep repeating the same two words.
Oh, I love
by the time, this is a great challenge for actors, actually, and that's what I love about pub theatre, is like, actors that really love the craft would, even if I don't think it doesn't matter where they are in their career, they'd be like, yeah, I'll do that, because it's a low time commitment compared to professional
exactly
kids. And you get an immediate audience reaction, and it's just like, there you go, there's no pretense, there's no you know. So by the time I sent the play on to Denise, and it's called Michelle Pfeiffer, and I said, by the time you've read the title, you're off book. So Denise's character is suffering from some kind of a rare symptom of something where she can only say the words Michelle Pfeiffer.
Do you know what? I knowing Luke's mind, the little bit I do, the minute you said she's only saying the two words over again, I said it's definitely Michelle Pfeiffer.
But the skill it takes to command an audience with just saying those two words. What I'm trying to get across is, like, it doesn't really matter about the words, and that's with the Meisner technique. I always talk about this, and like, I swear to God, the lads in the pub are like, will you shut up talking about language? I'm like, no, we're trapped in language. No. you can't, there's so much underneath the words, and for actors to know, like, the words are in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we learn the lines is we learn them to a metronome, and it's like the syllable by syllable, so it's just in you. Kind of like how you'd learn the Hail Mary. Like it's, you could just ream it off like that. But that frees you up. The words are in the way. So when you have the words and you have them, you're free to do whatever you want and be alive in the moment. And really, like I said, with that pub theatre in Downses, you are pulled into it. Like, there was one time, what got me into that technique and really I fell in love with theatre was, I was watching a play, and it was Days of Wine and Roses in Dublin, and it was in a black box, and whatever happened with the two actors on stage, I was like, oh my God, this, like, I had a very big cathartic moment to it from a personal time in my life, and I've had a lot of empathy for this kid that was upstairs, and his parents were like round and stuff like that. I was like, oh my God, that poor kid. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, but the kid wasn't there, but I was in London. Do you know what I mean? So the first play I wrote, I did it in the International Bar in Dublin. And that's a black box as well. It's a really sexy play about this femme fatale who retires from Hollywood and moves to a really small rural village, and everyone goes crazy for her sexually. And the priest has to come in because the confessions are gone through the roof. And he's a virgin, and he used to be in love with her when he was a kid. And they meet, and it's all this sexual tension and whatever. And it's comedy, by the way. And I ask
like Fleabag.
Maybe, yeah. Before Fleabag's fine, actually. And I actually ask the audience, I go, what colour was the carpet? And they're like, red. And I'm like, yes, there was no carpet. You know, so I'm obsessed with that kind of gap in it. And then Pat McAvoy gave us an excellent review in News and Star as well.
I should pass it.
And he actually said that Good Christopher is locked in a padded room, and I'm like, yeah, he gets it. Like, there's not even a mention of a padded room, like that. It's the actors and the acting, the story implies it, so it doesn't matter about. I mean, it'd be great to get a proper stage and all that, but I don't think it would suit my buzz, if you know what I mean. And going back to Big Maggie, by the way, I just want to point out that I was playing Teddy Heelan, and it was amazing to work with Denise. And we had a little mooch on stage, just so you know.
It's such a good play, isn't it?
And she was in the same class as my mom.
Sherlock. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sure,
that's the job.
You have to suffer for your art, boy, don't you?
Well, I'm very sorry you had to suffer that, Denise.
I a couple of years ago was Slippy Helen, and I had to kiss Billy, who I used to babysit back in the day. So there you go. And I was like, sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Cullen. I was like, apologies, James. But like, this is for art, but guys, we're not forgetting you. I know we're very quiet in the corner there, Slow Man Dan. Tell us this. You might tell us a little bit about the piece you're in, Christmas Babysitter.
Christmas Babysitter. Okay. So I played Tatia in the Christmas Babysitter. So she's just gone through a breakup, and then she has to go mind this child who's just as equally as annoying as her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, I guess. So she's technically, like, it's against her will to be there. Like, she doesn't want to be there, but she has to be there because she needs the money. So she's just minding this child, and he's all over the place. He's actually being played by Peter Wright. Oh, Peter Wright.
Yeah, Peter's like 40 and he's playing a 7-year-old.
Peter, Peter is twice your height.
Yeah, but the dynamic, like, that makes it funny with the dynamic. Yeah. But, yeah, it's great playing with him anyway, because he's in Halloween special as well. So.
Peter has a great expressive face, though. Do you know what I mean? I feel like he can probably switch character very easy. You know, there's a bit of Jim Carrey in him where he can kind of churn his face and, you know what I mean, immerse himself in a character that way. How do you find it?
Great. It's challenging because there's so many ways I could have played her. Like, when I originally learned the script, it was just so different from rehearsals to obviously taking in Luke's notes and fixing everything that was wrong. He thinks he's a director or something.
How dare I? How very dare I?
Oh yeah, it's been great. Like, I get to speak Georgian in it as well, so I think that's a bit funny. Like,
I mean, it's great to have the Georgian language in there, because like my mom's neighbors are Georgian, and they come into our house for Christmas Day every year.
Really?
So it's brilliant. Yeah, it's like, so actually having a bit of Georgian in there, I always like trying to put it into my films. Like, so we're actually going to their house later on after this to record some lines of the boyfriend in Georgian. Yeah, so, but the thing is, again, it's a different language, but you're going to definitely know, oh, that's the ex-boyfriend she's around with, even though, so that's what I'm trying to get across. Well, it's a nice thing to do.
My conversation with Luke, Denise, Salome and Dan continues after this short ad break.
On the Fringe with Gemma Delaney on WLR.
Yeah, you won't understand what I'm saying, but you'll feel what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but that's the same as understanding.
Exactly, but it's going back to what you were saying, Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle, it's, you know, you'll understand, or like the padded room, it doesn't have to be physically there. We're going, you mean, yes, we're going to, you know, show not tell, as they say, you know what I mean? So, and like, you know, in terms of this character to other characters, like, I don't want to ever ask, you know, a preference or whatever. I'm sure you love this character as well, but how did you find it in terms of, you know, other characters you've played? Is it a very big separation from what you've done before?
This is my first play.
I didn't want to presume.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I didn't want to presume. So.
No, I've been in many movies and TV series.
Just taking a break.
Well, you know, obviously I have nothing to compare it to, but from doing classes to actually playing a character, it's great fun. Like, something I get to actually work on and kind of make it tighter, because we're such a tight-knit team as well, so it makes it easier to work with. Like, I trust their opinion and I trust their work. And
you will never be closer than a crew you are doing a play with, because you're with them so much and you experience every emotion, and there's tears and there's tantrums and there's making up and there's
and that's
things
just
going
me.
Wrong. That's just Luke. But yeah, it is. It's a fully, you become family nearly,
don't
you?
Definitely. Like, I got lucky as well, because I had no idea about the Halloween plays or anything beforehand. Like, obviously, people needed help, like, with the plays. We needed, like, you know, people to help around with the plays. Yeah. So, obviously, I was like, yeah, like, get me on it. Like, I'll help as much as I can. I think I bought a clipboard that wasn't even used, so I wasn't much help, but yeah, I bought
good
a clipboard
vibes.
In that wasn't nice. But,
totally worth the vibe.
I was there anyway, and I got lucky. I got lucky enough to be offered then this role, who Luke kind of wrote around me as well. So I don't know, I feel very appreciative to even be a part of it.
So. Well, then I'm going to go back because it is your first role. You know, what are your concerns or what are your, or have you any? Maybe you have none. What are you looking forward to? What are you looking least forward to? What are you?
Well, their reaction. I'm really excited for them to actually see the play because so much happens in it. Like, it's just up, down, up, down. Yeah, I'm just not looking forward to the nerves, I guess. But like,
you feed off the nerves. You do better when you're a bit nervous.
Yeah.
You play to it. And you know what? When you get the first laugh or the first cheer, you go...
Yeah, that's it. Like,
That's it.
Thank God.
You'll never go back. You're hooked then. You'll never go back. Dan, you might tell us a little bit about yours as well. It's an okay life. I'm assuming a play on the much-loved film.
Yeah. So, It's Okay Life is... It's been played by two people, Kelly Hudson and me. Mm-hmm. I'm playing alongside Kelly Hudson, who is playing D. And basically, my character is basically a man who is desperate to be seen, to be heard, and he is just he's a very to me he's very precious to me.
Okay.
He's very precious type of character, and he's kind of like this person who like really wants love,
okay,
really wants commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
But is just, you know, and he goes to the hospital and he breaks his leg and he says it's a cry for help to Dee, and he comes up to the apartment. Dee is not expecting it, and basically that's how it happens, and Dee doesn't expect it at all.
Okay.
And Dee is basically it. Like, they're both mirrors to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both mirrors to each other. But and when Kelly's character is at the start and she's like doing her whole monologue at the start when she's alone, she actually says stuff that Stan says later on, okay, which is really cool to me.
Yeah.
And it's Dee is a character as well who genuinely wants to help people. But she'd rather help people than face her own problems, if you get what I mean.
Ah, there's plenty of them going too, Dan. Yeah, plenty of them going. And like, when you say he's a desperate character, I mean, and he's, you know, desperate for love and desperate, like, is he likable?
Yes.
He is. I love him.
He's precious. Yeah. He genuinely is precious. He's a precious type of character. I think he's, like, he's very, very sensitive, up and down, really. Mm-hmm. And In a way, he reminds me a bit about my own self, in a way. But, you know.
I wouldn't call you precious, Dan.
Oh, come on, Dan. You're precious to me, Dan.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And again, is this a self-penned one?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't want to presume, but I could have guessed. Is this your first forte, or is this, is this your first forte? How are you finding this process then as well? Because again, that sounds like a tricky and nuanced character to play there.
I just want to point out that Salome and Dan are with me every Friday for about 6 months now, I think. Mm. And this is their debut, so they're well able for it.
Yes, they will, absolutely.
It's brilliant to have that kind of feeder system from the acting school to be like, okay, you want to act, the best way to act and learn acting, in my opinion, is to do a play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just getting rid of all the barriers in front of it and going, we'll just do pub theatre.
Yeah.
And I want to make it regular. And I know I've penned all these and self-penned it, but next year I want to open it up. Like, I'd love to do this regularly every year, Halloween special, Christmas special, and then a love special around Valentine's Day.
And you've seen there's the demand for it.
Yeah, definitely.
180 in Downs is what, like...
That's no small feat.
Sardines in a tin.
But in a nice way.
But
a very
talented
way.
Tin. Very enjoyable tin. So again, you know, I'm going to put the same questions to you. You know, what are your fears? What are you looking forward to? What do you expect it to be like, I suppose?
Well, I kind of think in a way that, like, you don't... I kind of don't want to expect anything. I want to go in and just do it.
Give it socks.
Like, if I'm nervous, I'm feeding straight into those nerves.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because that's what I think you're supposed to do. Mm. And once you get the audience going and whatnot, it's going to be a walk in the park. I think the first day is going to be... Sorry. I think the first day is going to be challenging.
Yeah.
Very challenging. But when you get to the second day, that weight is kind of lifted off you. But you have such a supportive team around you, mm-hmm, as well. Such a supportive group around you that sometimes the nerves are actually lifted off you solely because of the direction and the the creative direction of these plays and the way it's kind of lifted off you because you have so much support around you.
And so, you know, you're not saving lives. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Enjoy it. Mm. You know, and like Luke said, it's a lovely little introduction as well. It's a safe little space. It's not, you know, too formal, like you were, you know, with the stage and the lights and the, you know, there's a little bit of informality. There's a lot of informality there, you know, and because you're so close then to the people in, I actually really love pub theatre, I have to say. It's, you know, I find it really enjoyable. It's just a really relaxing, you know, easy evening of entertainment and for both the actors and for the crowd as well. So you've absolutely nothing to worry about and you're in very good hands on you with Luke here. I'll have to throw it back to you, Luke, again. The inspiration for the play.
It's an okay life. Yeah.
Where did it come from?
From It's a Wonderful Life. Because I was looking at that going, whoa.
It's all right.
What's the main character's name again in It's a Wonderful Life?
I should know this.
I can see Jimmy Stewart, but I can't remember the character's name.
No, I can't.
George. Yeah, so George is like, George wanted to travel and go see the world and stuff like that. And then he's shown a vision of how crap Bedford Falls would be without him. And I'm like, but that's not his fault. So he's like willingly like sacrificing his dreams. That's the spin I took on it.
Yeah.
So Kelly's an excellent actress. We trained in the original in the Miser School in Dublin there back in the day, so it's brilliant to have her down here. She's coming down from Kildare for rehearsals and everything.
Excellent.
So Kelly's playing Dee, and Dee goes on Instagram and it's Christmas Eve and she finds the loneliest people in the world and she just looks at her story and go, oh, just a cry for help, you know, like people like nothing but snakes in this town, or they're like in the hospital saying don't ask. <It's> like, okay, so she messages them and says, do you ever consider what life would be like without you in it? And she's trying to be helpful, as in, like, you know, think
she's
about
work
it. She's
on
trying
her to phrasing
do, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like nobody is like going like what, like blocking her and reporting her for abuse and stuff like this, and rightly so. But she's oblivious, and then yeah. So that's the inspiration was It's a Wonderful Life. So, but it's actually Clarence Oddbody she's the Clarence Oddbody of Instagram, trying to come into people's lives and show them what it'd be like if they weren't around, and then. Her character sends it to Dan, and Dan's like, oh my God, yes, this is a cry for help, and runs to our house and is like falls in love straight away. And because that's what they're both looking for, is unconditional love. But like, I don't think there's such a thing. There's always a condition. That's kind of what I'm examining there, like, you know.
I love it. Give us a reminder there of the dates, where we can get tickets, all that crack.
You can get tickets on Eventbrite or at the door. I would recommend on Eventbrite because they sold out last time. Tuesday the 9th, Wednesday the 10th, Thursday the 11th, Henry Downs' doors at 7. The show is at 7:30. You'll have plenty of time. We've nice little breaks there if you'd have a... You know yourself, whatever you do on Henry Downs is.
A lemonade or two.
And then you'll be out by 9 p.m.
Luke, Denise, Salome and Dan as well. Thank you so much for joining me.
No worries.
Amazing. Thank you. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much.
As always, a huge thank you to all of my guests tonight. Well, that's all the time we have for On the Fringe, but make sure to check us out every Tuesday, 6 to 7 here on WLR.